Welcome to Modcast, a civilization podcast focused on modding.
Kenneth Borland,
Tony Keel,
Peter Steenbeck,
Bauta Snidus.
With guest co-host, Buster's uncle.
I see the blue squiggles.
They're very nice blue squiggles. That's a pretty color.
I have learned what the shape of the words and look like. From just sight, I can tell when I'm cousin looking. Anyways, welcome to Modcast, episode 41. Today we are joined with Wouter, Lacutus, Snyders.
Hello.
Peter, Maniac, Steenbeke.
Welcome to Modcast Space.
Maniac!
Kenneth, Impaler WRG, Furland.
Oh, is that who that is?
Where am I?
And me, Tony Garrett, Zygielo, with our very special guest co-host, Jack, Buster's uncle, Shaver.
Hi, y'all.
So where do you live again? Because, you know...
North Carolina.
See, there's a guy in North Carolina that owes me money. I was wondering if you could go find him for me.
Yeah, I'm from North Carolina, Winston-Salem. What part are you in?
I'm sorry, drawing a blank for a second. Hour and a half's drive down I-40 east of that. West. I knew which way I meant.
So what, near Charlotte?
No, not that far south. I'm on I-40.
Oh, okay.
Really, it's about a mile and a half over that way. I'm about halfway between Statesville and Asheville.
Yeah, I lived in Asheville for 1 year, too, as well.
I want to live in Asheville.
Andy McDowell lives in Asheville. Steve Martin lives around there now, too.
Isn't she English or something?
Yeah, she lives in Asheville now. I don't know where she's from.
No. She was the only American one in four weddings and a funeral. Now I remember.
Sex, Lies, and Videotape. Nice head of hair on that woman. Smart as sexy.
Well, anyways, I was talking earlier with Jake here, and he says he lives at the foothills of the Appalachians.
Appalachians.
I'm sorry. I'm West Coast.
It depends on how you pronounce them. You know.
It's our mountains. Yankees just cannot pronounce that right.
Am I an Yankee for being West Coast?
I'm a bigot. Okay. The United States of America ends outside of my skin. Or at least it's a state line.
Hey, I wouldn't mind if you just tell that to the president. Let our whole side of the country secede. That'll be even more fun. Than, like, you know?
I'm kind of resentful that the state of Franklin didn't happen. I don't like being in North Carolina.
Oh, it was going to be named Franklin?
There was an attempt to have a loyalist state, part Tennessee, part North Carolina. And, you know, I just don't like being ruled over by Raleigh. Are we really going to talk about North Carolina politics?
No, because I've only been in North Carolina once to donate plasma and get paid for it. So,
that's... North Carolina politics is pretty complicated, I can tell you guys. It is pretty amazing that the state has actually managed to hold together.
Complicated, but dumb. The barbecue is good, though. Lexington barbecue. Don't let anybody tell you different.
Everyone agrees on that, yes.
Anyways.
Probably the most unifying force in our politics.
Yeah. A barbecue?
It's good barbecue.
Yeah.
I think I could go with that. I think I really could.
It's really good barbecue.
You're going to make me hungry now. You're going to make me real hungry.
Yeah, that and the fact that we're not South Carolina.
South Carolina sucks. It sucks hard.
Yeah. Everyone in North Carolina agrees
South
on
Carolina
that.
South Carolina is the New Jersey of North Carolina.
But when you go into the South Carolina, when you cross over, it's like you can immediately tell
you.
Smell
it.
It's like driving to Mexico. It's like everything becomes cheap. The road becomes cheap. The trailers
everywhere you go, trailers and satellite dishes. They have great satellite dishes. I mean, back in the 80s they did. But they live in trailers. South Carolina. All that stuff's true about places like South Carolina, just not North Carolina. Well, some of us can read.
All right. Please send all hate mail to ImpalerWRG@q.com. Thank you.
What, does Buster get a share?
No, you don't want none of the uncle.
No, Ken, it's all yours.
I'm a non-practicing troll. I'm trying to restrain myself.
And today in the code corner, we look at the pig mod by Peace of Mind.
In an upcoming mod, we talk about the Colonization 2071 mod by Orlan.
Today in the Modern Spotlight, we talk with Buster's uncle about his Smack projects and, well, a lot of other stuff.
In the artist's sketchpad, we looked at the Xerxes Theater Hat by CFK.
After the credits, make sure you listen to a portion of the Shirk interview that was about modding Civ 5.
Code Corner, where we discuss SDK and Python mods or any other non-graphical mods in the Civilization 4 modding community.
Here, what we got here.
Is it four parts?
Who suggested this pig mod? Who suggested
not
this
me.
Pig mod? Okay, I got pig mod.
I did.
All right. Tell us a little bit about the pig mod here in the Code Corner.
All right. The page has loaded.
I love the graphic for this
very
mod, the pig mod. He's got this, the cutest cartoon.
It's very original and exceptional. You don't, can easily see on which icon you have to click. So anyway, I was looking for a... I wanted to combine two things. I wanted to test play a game with the Vikings for the new democracy game on WePlayCiv. And at the same time, I thought I'd do something useful for Modcast for a change. So I decided to play probably improved gameplay mod by Peace of Mind. It is a modification of the base game, but unlike mods like Legends of Revolutions, or History of the Making, it changes even less. But still, it has some innovative changes which I haven't seen elsewhere. But I think they're very good. Anyway, so let's list the advantages. Of course, it has a better AI, the bug mod, which are of course mandatory in my opinion for each mod. But besides that, it does not include unique unit art for each civilization. Personally, I think that's actually a good thing, because from an interface point of view, the more different graphics you have, the harder it comes to memorize what each unit looks like. For example, in Fall from Heaven or Legends of Revolution, I never have a clue what I'm looking at. I always have to look with my mouse, hover over the units, to see what unit it is, that takes time and is boring. So, I actually think that's an advantage, and it also means the mod is only 10 megabytes in size, another advantage.
Ah.
So, I'm a bit against boring monologues, but I guess I'll continue with two mod comps.
Well, tell me what some of the bigger changes you noticed, like some of the more...
Well, there are two mod components, which I think stand out, and as I said, I haven't seen them anywhere else yet. The first one is a runaway AI.
Runaway AI.
Under significant changes, second post.
Now, what is this a mod of?
I see there.
This is like a tweaked gameplay mod of Civ 4. Now, what is this? What is this runaway AI? I'm looking here at these XML. Are we talking about like a Blitzkrieg AI?
Oh yeah, he made them more likely to backstab, and they built more units and less wonders. But what especially caught my attention was that he set the relationship level at which AIs are willing to trade to furious. So basically, every AI will be willing to trade with you. That's different from Vanilla Civ 4, where, there, for instance, Monsa Musa will always trade with you, and as a consequence, he tends to perform better than everyone else. And on the other hand, you have guys like Tokugawa.
Tokugawa?
Yeah. They always shoot themselves.
Has anyone ever gotten Tokugawa to trade with him?
Yeah, I mean, that's basically an AI shooting himself in the foot, right? That's,
Oh, absolutely.
So
this literally would give every AI the networking power of Mansa Musa.
Indeed, so.
The ability to trade and really get themselves going.
I don't know. I've seen a lot of AIs do a lot of trading at high difficulty levels on Vanilla Civ.
Yeah, but also Tokugawa, or what's his name, does that Asakai. The Asakai.
Is it just an XML change? Or?
It's optional, but it's just a genes to change to a Civ 4 civilization interface. But it's it's something which which I haven't seen in any other mod, but I think it does improve AI performance. So, yeah. The only thing, of course, you can argue is that you lose flavor that way, because, you know, all AIs will kind of act the same. But, yeah, now comes the self-promotion moment. In Planet Fall, I have set... Also, I have also set all leaders to trade at the same level, but there it's a pleased attitude. So basically, you still have to make an effort and increase relationships to be able to trade with them. And of course, the way to improve relationships is different with each leader. For instance, with Miriam, you have to sister Miriam, you have to share the same state religion. With Colonel Santiago, you have to go to war with her and against someone else. So, you know, there's still different flavor because there's still, you have to use different methods to get along with them. So basically, you combine good AI with flavor AIs.
That sounds like a good compromise.
Yeah, that's the biggest part of my monologue. Then there's the, I guess I'll just continue. Did you guys notice that I've written a one-page review of this mod in preparation?
Oh, really?
Did not.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So anyway,
I didn't change the stream.
The second mod component is Lead from Behind. Yes, that's under incorporated mods. Do you see that?
Okay.
Yeah, this looked like something that changed the way stack combat works.
Yeah, no, just any combat. But basically, it makes some units less likely to defend. So more specifically, it makes great generals units with high experience, units with medic promotions, and national units less likely to defend. Personally,
send in the Ganon fodder in defense first.
My experience from Fall from Heaven is that sometimes I lose one of my heroes while defending. I'd rather have kept him alive and used him for attacking only. So,
and then you have to reload your save because you ain't going to play it.
Indeed. Yeah, that's something I tend to do a lot with Fall from Heaven because, I don't like to use high experience units. So, this mod comp can prevent that.
Yeah, well, I think this should already just be in Civ code, you know. And this would also add more power to the flank promotion. So, maybe make the flank promotion, a little more powerful so it circumvents this,
Yeah, or also make flanking units less likely to defend, because, that promotion only works on offense. So, you're actually best to save them as well.
Well, if we're going to that point, maybe the player should actually just somehow indicate what they want to defend at the time. You click on your stack and you say, I want this guy to do this.
Yes, Mac actually had something like that, right? You could designate a defender.
Yeah, of course, then there's also the issue of, is it super tedious? The
problem is different units have different skills against other units.
Yeah.
If you say, I'm going to defend with an X-Men, then you can be attacked with a Chariot and you're destroyed very easily.
Well, I've also noticed is that when you're playing Civ Vanilla and you're going to attack a city, and you select a unit, and right before you attack, you add the anti melee promotion, he might switch to an archer when you attack. It won't be the same unit on that stack. So in a way, there's a reverse of this already in play completely, where the strongest unit for the fight is offered up.
Yeah, the game will automatically select the best possible defender for you.
Which is not necessarily what you want with this kind of... In a game where one unit's dead either way, and you got more than... You know what I'm saying?
Well, what about the ability to mark a unit as non-defending? So it's kind of what this is doing, but it's doing it through an automated process. So I just have a button on a unit that says... cowardly or something, or stay behind or something like this. And I click it, and it's an individual choice for each unit, so I only have to put it on the few units that I want to, I cannot be involved in defense, and then they're automatically left out. And then I get the strongest unit that's not designated in that respect.
Anyway, sorry for doing such a long monologue. I know that's more interesting. Yeah.
Upcoming Modders, where we discuss a particular mod still in development.
That brings us to the next mod, which is a newer mod called Colonization 2071 by Orleans, I believe the name is. And
Orleans?
Well, it's O-R-I-A-N-T-H is what I have written down here.
It looks like an L.
Orleans. You're going to confuse me now. But I had to dig out my colonization ISO and install it and then, you know, patch it, do colonization just to try this mod out, which I did do, and I tried this mod out.
You know, I got myself a copy of colonization finally.
Yeah.
I went to a Walmart and bought it, you know. It was only like $15. But, you know.
Yeah, they're good for X-Skin.
I just wanted to have a copy.
Well, go play.
I have an old DOS copy.
Of course not. I'm not going to open it. Are you crazy? It's just to put on the shelf.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying you should play this mod.
No, it'll lose half its value if I open it.
You still haven't even opened it to see your name in the book?
I don't even think there is a book in
there
it.
There is a book in all of them.
Okay, is my name in the book?
I'm assuming.
Well, have you looked?
No, it's not my name, it's your name.
See?
No, I think actually I did look, it's in there. But, this is a colonization mod, and the only other notable one I can think of off the top of my head that's a big mod like this is Dale's mod, the Age of Discovery for Colonization, which he actually shifted from Civ 4 to Colonization.
Actually had Ekmek on not too long ago. He also has a colonization mod.
And what was it called, Mare Nostrum?
Yeah.
Am I confusing him?
No, yeah, that's correct.
I don't even know why.
I'm sure there's other ones as well, but...
So this is our third colonization mod we've covered. And
yeah, that's true.
This one's great. I mean, if you are done with colonization, and you're tired of playing it, because you've beaten it like four times or something, you really need to download this mod. First off, I'll tell you, is you start off with the Final Frontier graphics of a lone cruiser on the Europe screen.
Get this. It's colonization in
space. So instead of boats, you've got spaceships. And instead of ocean, you've got star space, you know, space graphics. But here's the cute part. The map script that you use draws three or four huge circular continents, perfectly circular, which represent planets you can land on.
I love that.
That needs a big mod.
So, yeah, it's a big mod, and the planets have all the resources, and they have natives. The Native Americans already there, but they're not Native Americans. They're Native aliens.
They're Na'vi.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they didn't have any hot side boob Na'vi, but you can wish. Side boob.
So, of course, there's some unobtainium we have to mine from these planets,
right? Yeah,
well,
they have that on there. It's, you know, they have all the... They have, like, weird
sex.
Alien resources. Sex.
Actually, it only looks like they went with uranium, which kind of is a little bit of a letdown.
Well, they stole some graphics out of Planetfall, like the ruins and stuff. Those are on there, too.
Now, Soma and Xenophores, those sound, Xenospores sound like cool resources. But going into outer space to get uranium...
I can make the bras out of unobtainium.
A little lame. I would have replaced that with, like, Phidium or something like that. Helium-3. I don't know. Something cool.
No. But they do hover the boobs up. But, no, seriously, this looks cool.
Yeah, talk about support.
Oh, man. So we've got the... Oh, I just now, I looked at the Earth screen. It shows a space elevator. I hadn't seen that till now. So I didn't get that far in the mod. That's pretty awesome. Yeah, this is definitely must play. He went through and he changed his total conversion, in my opinion. Well, it looks like there's a little bit left to be done because we still have the founding fathers up here.
Yeah, there are board of directors.
He
did mention it.
How much of this the interface right here can you change, Ken? Can you change those photos out with someone else?
Oh, changing the photos is simple. Changing the rest of the background so it's doesn't look like wood and leather will be trickier. I mean, you want that to give it all of a science fiction snappy kind of neon-y look.
Just make it black and it's science fiction.
Yeah, that would work. Black with stars.
Yeah, you'll have to change the background. That would be the main thing. You'll change the logos for all the types of points. So instead of government and finance and things like this, it'll be, something a little different. And the portraits are all defined separately in their own files. And someone will have to make new portraits.
Is there transparency around the photos? Is it just like a mugshot with transparency?
Yeah, there's transparency around the photos. That's how they've all
That's
done.
Easy. That'd be great. He'll have a blast doing that. He's got a lot of work to do, but I tell you what, this mod, it's a great mod for the upcoming mods because it really is. You know what I'm saying? It's a half-made mod. I really love doing the upcoming mods on a mod like this because you know, at the very least, we're giving that modder a little bit of support he needs.
Plus, we can get our own suggestions.
Oh, yeah.
It looks like he's already renamed the Founding Fathers to things like Notorious Tax Evader and Heavy Industry Tycoon and Brilliant Xenobiologist.
Oh,
so
okay.
That's kind of a nice idea. It's like you don't actually have to give them real names. They're just their title and their speciality is what defines them.
Yeah.
So that kind of logically correlates to what they do in the game.
Yeah, and this is a... If you notice...
Think about it. Who could ever actually remember what all the Founding Fathers in colonization do? It's like,
no.
Does William Brewster give you religion or cotton? I can't
remember.
Well,
somewhere in some form they're arguing about it, but... But what's great is when I met the gray aliens, you know, like, X-Files... He's like,
these aliens are greener.
No, that's not. The grays are just like that, but they're gray. And he's like, and I was like, you know, you know when you say there should be peace in our times, well, right when he said, he's like, if you piss me off, I'll take out my extra big probe or my extra long probe. I was like, what?
Those grays are ass bandits.
Yeah, they are. He's a total ass bandit. Can we say ass bandit?
No.
Okay.
No, I didn't say that. I'm never
here. You know, we're gonna really make Dan sweat on this episode. Apparently.
Well, the last thing I wanted to note was that he's changed around each of the four, you know, nations to an Earth equivalent. So it's a pretty logical, you know, division that we got here. You've got kind of the NAFTA U.S. Equivalent, a European Union, Russia, and China. You know, it's logical superpowers of the future, kind of 1984-esque, you know, you got the Oceania, Eurasia, that kind of stuff. And the equivalents each, you know, relate to one of the early ones. So China is England, so they get more population. You've got Russia is Netherlands, because they actually have the best economy in the future. The U.S. is Spain, because, of course, we're natives. And the EU is France, because they're, of course, all lovey-dovey.
Which one's the EU? Is France? So they're all buddy-buddy with the aliens, is what they're? The special aliens?
Naturally.
Now, I think you make alien hype. You know how you make specialists in...
We're the good guys.
In this colonization? Well, I think you have, like, alien hybridization.
Fun! Bring on the green women. I'm in a quirky state of mind.
So they're like a converted native equivalent? I mean,
yeah, William Shatner's first in line.
Yeah, that would make a good leader, you know. It's like eccentric starship captain, you know.
Yeah, now one of the leaderhead people is going to have to make a William Shatner leaderhead.
I did that the other day, sort of.
Yeah, throw the whole freaking Enterprise crew in there.
Nice.
Next month's game of the month.
You know?
But,
we could probably get, like, all four series in there, you know? Original series, you know?
I'm going to do a set of Star Trek factions. It is in the works. I've already got the Green Woman.
Oh, yeah, you're right. This guy's name is Orlanth, not Orient.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Anyway, Impaler, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Say, Orlanth stated that he would prefer to bring back some features from Beyond the Sword, like, you know, a tech tree, for instance. But I'm wondering, because colonization... That's basically a stripped-down version of a Civ 4. So wouldn't it be easier to just copy all colonization code back into Beyond the Sword than the other way around?
Not necessarily, because what they did is they took the VTS code and they just gutted it like a fish. I mean, just hacking out huge chunks of it. And then a few pieces got modified, just literally rewritten. But still in the same kind of format. So technologies became Founding Fathers, but almost everything about them was changed. But, I mean, it became the sense in the sense that we, you know, copied over the place where it says tech info and, you know, did a global redefine, you know, change that to Founding Fathers. And so a little bit of the stuff is similar, but it's all been rewritten. So...
Well, yeah, if it's completely different to the completely parallel system. Wouldn't it just be easy to copy your, I don't know. Of course, I don't have colonization, so...
What?
I'm just talking.
What are you... All right, first off, you guys are all broke bastards if you can't afford a cheap-ass Firaxis game. They are $15. Like, when they're brand new, they're like, brand new, $20, here you go. Sid Meier's selling them out the back of his van. What are you talking about?
Probably my computer is from 2004, so probably the graphics are probably even too advanced. For my
I am that broke.
I just managed with Z4, but colonization probably wouldn't work.
Colonization's not.
Okay, now, are you talking about someone who wants to copy over all colonization features into Civilization 4 or vice versa? Because I think it depends on what type of what game you actually want to play. If you want to have a single colonization feature in Civilization 4, yeah, you could probably copy over the code reasonably easily and get the feature you want there. I mean, is that what you're asking?
Well, I don't know. Yeah, of course. Like I said, I have...
It'd be interesting to see a hybrid of the two games.
What did you say?
Like, imagine if you had colonization, but with a tech tree.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest feature. But of course, there are all those XML tags that Beyond the Sword has means you can make a much more varied strategies. Now, isn't a... Of course, I haven't played it, but isn't a colonization, very single-minded?
Yeah.
It's the same thing. You repeat over and over again the same game.
I have to agree that that is one of the things that I personally find that really keeps the game from getting nearly as involved and interesting as Civilization. Because Civilization, the rules are basically always changing. I can do this thing that I couldn't previously do before. Or I have a new thing I can build, or just that and the other. Whereas in Colonization, pretty much everything is available to you immediately.
Yeah, that's actually... And if I would make a space mod, I would actually base it on Beyond the Sword and not colonization, even if it's about space colonization.
Well, I mean, but then again, you're doing Final Frontier in that case, which is not entirely original, but colonization into
the big difference between this mod and Final Frontier is this one uses actual planets instead of solar systems. Personally, I have to say I like this approach better because you get an entirely new theater for warfare, and you can make different tech trees for terraforming ice plants or.
Reminded me of Space Generals, which is an old ass game where you would have the galaxy and then you'd have planetary view. And this the way you did it with Civ. I mean, here's one problem you have to fix quick though: is that map script. Two of my planets were touching a little bit, so that kind of took away that interorbital area for battle. So.
Yeah, it's very. I've almost never seen a game which was set in a space setting, which allowed both a map of a planet, so that you actually had, partial control or combat occurring on a planet, and has, any kind of complex space environment. Almost all games either have planets as individual points that are, it's like a binary thing. You either control the planet or you don't control the planet. It's just a point. And then you have space, maybe solar systems, maybe interplanetary space, and you can go between points. Or you've got, say, a planet, and you don't have any... It doesn't have both layers at the same time, because it's just too complex. Kind of strike that balance.
I think that, it's an innovative concept, at least my favorite, how I would do it. So I say it's a promising mod.
I know, and it's an upcoming mod... So, Orlant, good job so far. Come and get me, hit me up around 0.5, and I'll load your mod up again. You know what I'm saying? Keep up the good work. You're a pioneer in the colonization mod community.
Okay, I just wanted to interject that all this talk of green space women, I had to make one. I just posted an avatar.
You did? Where is that posted at?
Custom Avatar Project in off-topic forum.
All right.
I'm about to make another one.
Nice. I'm surprised no one's already made that avatar, because the Orion women are very prized as avatars.
I've posted one before.
The Spotlight is where we have a detailed discussion about one particular Civ4 mod.
Now, Jake, let me ask you a few questions. You have been a modder. When did you start modding video games?
Funny thing you should ask. I noticed in a file for the Game of the Month that Epidams did just today that he had the 8th faction in the Alpha X file. It's been almost a year since I did that. That was my first ever faction graphic. I can't give you a precise date, but it was February of last year. I finally got Alien Crossfire. I got to poking around on the internet for goodies. I downloaded Smaniac, as a matter of fact. I was very inspired by the custom factions. And it's true.
Peter's right here.
And
yeah,
I started downloading custom factions, and a lot of them were like from 1999, had no art to them. So this stupid mindworm faction, and it's a terrible faction, but I was playing it, and, you know, it had default graphics, and screw that, I made some.
You just drew them on there?
Well, I put Deidre's portrait backwards, glued a mindworm to her forehead, crested some xenofungus all over the Gaian bases. The default graphics were Gaian, so I took that as a inspiration. You know, just some basic stuff.
So that's just pure beginning to mod. I mean, a lot of people start with their first skin of anything, you know, doing their first texture.
Yeah, I didn't know what I was doing. I did not know how to use Photoshop.
Well, I heard you use GIMP, so you made the first right decision.
I use GIMP for something. Something's Photoshop 5 is better for.
Oh,
I even use MS Paint for part of it.
Good old MS Paint.
MS Paint's really good at making those shitty graphic colors into files, you know, like those low res. I don't know. It's good for some 8-bit stuff, you know. But I was looking at your factions. I was surprised. See, like, I thought you had done those a few years back because I didn't know that the Smack scene, the Smack modding scene, was so still fresh. And you know, at We Please Civ, I've noticed like, you know, one out of two topics is a Smack related topic at We Please Civ. So there is a thriving Sid Meier's Alpha Centauri. By the way, whenever we say Smack, we're talking about Sid Meier's Alpha Centauri. You're not talking about your favorite drugs, you crackhead.
Or the form in which we like to talk.
Well, actually,
or the, you know,
as a drug,
rear end.
You could make an argument.
Person would be a crack, I guess. Well, Smack.
We
crack.
Are talking Smack today.
Anyways, yeah. We are talking Smack, and so that's what struck me, is there's still a lot of Smack going on. And I also was surprised when I found out you had started so recently.
I'm a noob.
Now, what else have you done as far as modding? I've seen a bunch of custom factions.
That's most of it. I've been involved in collaborations. I've collaborated with factions with Darshman on his Beta Lyrania mod. And, of course, recently I've been working on the I'm part of the Game of the Month team, and we're very proud of the result. Of you know, okay, in that respect, I mean, mostly Adam did the scenario. I helped a little with some testing, but mostly my contribution to that was writing. I found out that he was using a set of custom factions I'd made. I came up with the premise. Allie did most of the actual writing. I made suggestions here and there. I actually wrote some whole things that are in some of her stories. I wrote one whole story myself. I'm very proud of that. The scenario, I've not gotten very far in yet. I can't speak to the actual scenario. The story's rock hard.
Now, these mods, I tell you what, I've never played a Sid Meier's Alpha Centauri mod. Sorry, Peter. Sorry, Ken. But I haven't.
But you did play the Beast game, or?
I did. Yes, I played that. Many times. That's a good game. What are some of the what are the big mods out there besides the custom factions? You said you were working with Beta Lyra. What kind of mod is that? Like, what would it
be? Well,
do with
that's the same sort of thing as Peter did with Smaniac, only different. There's some custom factions in there and some of my storytelling aspects, and a lot of it's technical stuff that really isn't my end. Changing the social engineering settings, moving around the order in which technologies can be researched. Maniac can really speak to that part of it better than I can.
Oh, that's kind of a strange issue. Really, Maniac is kind of 5 years ago that I made it, so I often notice that other people still know more about it than I do. For instance, that Smackoff special with Dorsman and Hydro, they were able to tell a lot about Maniac and how awesome it was, and I was kind of lost for words, because, you know, my memory was kind of fading. But in any case, you know, the general picture is to make, you know, there are in SMAC certain strategies which are very powerful, you know, using needle jets and induction air power, and then once you have induction air power, you go to my machine interface and do chop and drop. You know, since every game goes the same way, you research your decks all in the same order. And what I tried to do with Smaniac, and I assume Dorsen and with Peter Leroy, was, you know, offer more different strategies. And, you know, it reinvigorates the game you have been playing for a couple of years.
A couple? What, this game came out almost, 15 years ago?
1997.
No, 10 years.
1997?
98.
So,
98, sorry.
Oh, so 12 years ago. 12 years ago.
Crazy once you think about it, isn't it?
It's got a lot of staying power, but it's important that we make these new things. It makes the playing experience fresh. I mean, honestly, how good can a game be after 12 years? You need to bring in something new from time to time. It helps keep it alive.
Well, I can only hope that one day the copyright issues worked out with the IP for Smack, and we have, like, you know, a Sid Meier's Alpha Centauri 2. Would that would be dope, you know, for a new Firaxis game.
No. Brian Reynolds, Alpha Centauri 2.
Wait, who? So he bought it?
No, I'm saying Brian Reynolds has to be in charge of it in order for it to be Smack again, because he was the one who basically made...
Keep dreaming.
It would kind of suck without him. Big, huge games.
Yeah, and...
Yeah, he left that now. He's now in Silica or something, making Facebook games and stuff like that.
Ooh, boring Facebook games. Yeah, I'm sorry. I mean, except for Civilization.
So we might end up with Alpha Centauri, the Facebook game.
That would probably make a lot of money.
It probably will.
I don't know if Facebook games make any money.
Well, they charge you like a nickel, and they show you a funny picture.
Considering the original Alpha Centauri didn't make enough to make a sequel, I'm not so sure about that.
That's true. Well, it did win all the best game awards, though.
Oh, they could just base it on the Civ 4 engine, and then you could make something with relatively little investment in money.
You know, if somebody would make Alpha Centauri on the Civilization engine, that would just be so fantastic.
Gee, if only we had something like that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'd like to state as a disclaimer, any talk about Planetfall on Smaniac is a... not by my initiative, you know. So any
come on,
promotion, promotion is unintentional.
Okay, so now you don't like promoting yourself? Oh,
what? I have never done that. Talk about Planetfall as a service to humanity.
Never, you never promoted yourself or a mod portion of. I'm gonna have to recommend you look at some previous episodes.
He's a very modest person. You should.
It is a bit hypocritical coming
you
from you, Tom.
The maniac facts.
Mentioning Planetfall is altruism.
I know. I'm just trying to keep everyone honest here. But anyways, yeah, it's a great mod, and I just finally beat Planetfall. 37,000 points.
You did? Whoa.
Yep.
Then you have done more than me. I have never finished the game yet.
Oh, you haven't? Well, it's pretty easy. You just you build like 50 mind worms, and then you know.
Of course, the thing is, you know, when I get around turn 200, I have so many ideas for things I want to change that I just quit and start modding.
Yeah, modders never finish a game, you know.
That's exactly it. I mean, when you're heavily into modding, you don't play anymore. You play test. You don't actually play anymore. You're too busy with doing your thing.
Well, you can play other people's mods, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's just playing.
That's getting good ideas for, oh, I like how I did this, I want to change that and do it in my mod, you know. Sometimes you get ideas for stuff in your mod.
Indeed. And then you go and, you know, copy, paste, you know, into get their XML.
Yeah, well, not that bad. I mean...
Well, it depends on how much you really like their idea.
If you're an XML pirate, then it's only fair to give, like, in your credits, I jacked XML and code from... Maniac and Paler WRG.
I tried to do that, actually. If you open my PCXs of my faction graphics, I'm pretty careful about credits. I steal outrageously, but I do try to say from who.
And there's a joke in every file.
There is, in fact. I didn't know anyone had ever noticed.
Well, you told me, of course, though. I know. I had to talk to it.
But we're fans.
So everyone who
fans, you know, it's fan fiction. It's fan art. We steal from each other outrageously. We steal pictures off the internet. We steal from each other within the community. I try to be scrupulous about credit.
Well, it's not even stealing at this point. The internet is changing how collaboration works.
That's true. I'm not worried about it. I'm not making a profit. I don't feel like it's really stealing. It's fan art.
Yeah. Well, you're pretty much unsuable if you're not making money. I mean, they can get someone could, like, if you're doing copyright, they could probably cease and desist you, but
yes.
I don't know if they could sue you.
Yeah, that's how, I mean, you know, and that's really the joy of modding is, A, you don't have to come up with the capital and just hardcore code writers to make a whole graphics engine. Like, you would need, like, 10 Kenneths to make your whole new custom freaking role-playing game slash MMO engine. You know what I'm saying? You need a group of smart people like Ken.
Is he a group of smart people?
Yes. No, you would need to clone Ken like 9 times.
Yes, we are Legion.
That's pretty expensive. So, you know, when you got a modding, you don't need that. And another thing is also the copyrighted materials. You can borrow from friends and little snippets here. You don't have to worry about getting licensing. Modding.
Yeah, well, all the code I ever did, I explicitly put up is, you know, like free to use. You know,
so. Oh, yeah, me too. I do that.
Public license stuff.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's like totally obvious that I want you to use it because I put the freaking source code up there for people to download. You know, but most people who do mods to the SDK, you know, just put their source code out there.
Yeah, put some code from you in Planetfall. I put some code from you in Planetfall Impaler, but it was bugged. I had to fix it. Local.
Did you hear that? Oh, those are fighting words. He said your code had bugs.
Tonight we're gonna have some fun. Night tonight. Sorry.
That would make a good YouTube video.
Oh, man. You did. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Peter versus Ken? It would be.
Yeah, he would have clogs to fight with.
I would spend.
You know, he'd put the clogs on his hands. You know.
Oh.
It's really flattering to get ripped off by the way. It makes me very happy on the few occasions anybody's used anything of mine. You know, it means I'm... Well, that's the best kind of applause with nerds.
And, you know, eventually, every once in a while, you get a comment, and you're like, yay, comments.
Well, no, the commenting kind of sucks. But, sometimes I get ripped off, and I know I've done good. I mean, the commenting sucks in the sense of not getting a lot of feedback. That sucks.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's because an old game, of course, Smack, it's a small community, so...
You can't even find it.
It's because they're all lazy asses. Don't front. This is my language. I don't know who's going
to
hear this.
Well, you know what? I think we're allowed to say ass, right?
Yeah, and last show, we determined that this was no longer a family-friendly show, so, you know.
Oh, well, but by the way, the last episode we recorded, which is probably out by now, which, he's named it not a saint, but it used to be called Teabaggers. Because we were talking about the Teabagger political party.
You had to change the name, or,
No, I got sensitive,
buddy. They did
buddy.
Not think real hard about that one.
Artist Sketchpad, where we discuss graphics and artwork from the Civ modding community.
Let's see, which one here? Oh, yeah, Xerxes. Oh, yeah.
This is Martha!
Okay, that was a little hard to understand.
Yes, I said that.
But if it's Xerxes, you need to be quoting Xerxes from the movie, not, you know...
I have a deep voice and I am a lesbian.
So it needs to be like...
Exactly.
Yeah, that's my point. But anyway... He does look gay enough.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's kind of the Xerxes thing. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. But this, this leaderhead looks just like the movie, as why I picked it. I mean, pretty much. I mean, is there any differences at all?
Not gay enough.
Hunchbacks and 8-foot-tall Persian men with no body hair.
Yeah.
Xerxes didn't look like that.
These I wonder how he did all these wings in the face, nose, ear.
You attach them to the, you go into Blender and then you... You basically pierced the model with them.
Okay, and then they just attach to the skeleton or to the bones in the model.
Yeah, yeah, but you want to attach them to the model so they move with the animation.
Yeah, okay. Do they, like, wiggle all that? I mean, how does it look?
I haven't loaded. Okay. I didn't load this, so we haven't seen the animations.
Yeah, because I could see how that would be tricky to make those things look right.
This is CFK.
Yeah.
Isn't he the fictionalization mod?
Yeah, we haven't ever reviewed that yet.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, he was on the show, actually, I think, right?
Okay, I have to scrap that from it to do this.
Yeah, scrape it off. But you know what? It's almost like we can look at CF Kane's work. If you look over, if you're a complete dork and you look at the Modcast archives, we covered, like, his first leaderhead way back when, and it was, you know, I'm not going to talk, but it was kind of a reskin, you know? Let's just call it that. And now look at this. Look.
An evolution towards the better, if you look at the older leaderheads, and now this one is his best one yet, I'd say.
Yeah. Well, I mean, unless he's... This file is a few months old. This is December. So he could have released another one. So we'll get it on the next episode.
Several other ones.
Yeah. So, hey,
look over a list.
Post them up there. And by the way, listeners, if you have any ideas for the artist sketchpad or mods... or anything, listen to this message. Call in today. In North America, the number is 301-637-7659. That's 301-637-POLY. In Europe, 44121-288-7659. That's 44121-288-POLY. You can Skype us at The Polycast, or email us at thepolycast@gmail.com.
The only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about.
For more information on Modcast,
Revcast,
or Polycast, or about Polycast in general, log on to the series' official website at thepolycast.net. I've had a lot of fun today. You know, we got on top of North Carolina, which is a far-off, exotic place north of Xanth, and that was...
I just posted another avatar of a green lady.
And we've already got sex with aliens brought up in this episode. What other horrible things did we bring up? Gay, hairless Persian men.
Dan's three hands.
He has three hands?
Yeah.
You know what that third one's doing all day, right?
I don't want to.
Alright, Dan always listens to these episodes to make sure...
Water is looking good.
Okay. Not going to take the fight up for the response.
Wouter, I'm so glad you didn't leave the show and tell us to f*** off.
Yet.
Exactly.
But,
took the words right out of my mouth.
No, really, really. Without Wouter, I would have not known how cool European people could get. Thank you, Wouter.
There you go.
And don't ever call a German a stupid German.
Okay.
Oh, what's that?
They really don't like that, man. I almost got beat up.
It's an odd thing, you know. The Germans I have met were not what the stereotype would have you expect.
Oh, no.
What is a stereotype?
No, good-natured scatterbrained people.
Well, they get to drink all day. They're legally allowed to drink at lunchtime. Well, anyways... we've had a excellent, great show. Today, we've been joined with Wouter, Lacutus, Snyders,
Hi.
Peter, Maniac, Dean Vika,
Devlon and Prosper,
Woo! Kenneth, Impaler WRG Ferlin,
who, what, where am I?
me, Tony Garrett, Zaki Keel, thank you. And with our very special guest co-host, Jake, Buster's uncle, Shaver.
Jack, you called me Jake, got like 8 times.
Damn it.
Peace and long life, y'all.
Come and listen in a few weeks. See you then. Bye.
Bye.
Record date, February 7th, 2010. Civilization 4, Warlords Beyond the Sword sound clips, copyright, Take 2 Interactive. Copyright 2010. Civilized Communications at civcom.net.
Modcast exclusive, where we bring you the hottest interviews in gaming and modding.
SDK, Civ 4, by far the most moddable version of Civ, with the SDK and XML and Python scripting. What can you tell us about the SDK that might be available for Civ 5 at this point?
Well, first off, Civ 5 is every bit as moddable as 4. The difference is that the tools that we're putting in eclipse anything we've had before. The standalone world builder is absolutely amazing. Sean Seckman, our lead guy just in charge of modding tools, and that's what he's focused on almost completely, is working on these tools, doing amazing things. Eric Jordan is the guy that's actually working on the world builder himself. And they're making a tool that is so unbelievably easy. I mean, my 12-year-old can come in and create maps. The UI is incredibly easy to use. You can publish a map easily. There's many other tools that we're going to be talking about, including what we're doing with the SDK, again, in the near future. But I think when people see what we're doing, it's going to be really, truly impressive. He's trying to make a tool for everything. For instance, the tool that he's made for localization, he's making something called LocBuddy, which is going to automatically localize all the text to the modern creeds for a scenario. Now, I mean, you're going to get some situations of all your base are belong to us, but it's just a neat addition. It's just another example of trying to make it easy for modders to publish stuff. It's really cool. It's great to our system.
So in terms of the world builder we had in Civ 4 and the map editor we had in Civ 3, the world builder, where does that compare between the two?
The standalone world builder with this is, I think, much better in terms of ease of use than the previous ones. I know the world builder, for instance, in Civ 4, was a very powerful tool. You could do a lot with it. It wasn't always the easiest thing to use, especially for people that aren't familiar with scripting, they aren't familiar with the mechanics of the game. The point-and-click method that we have and the extremely easy UI that you're going to see in the new world builder, just, I don't know, it's going to make people forget about anything we've had before. It's just so easy to use.
Well, I'm really looking forward to that from the sounds of it, because I really like the map editor we had in Civ 3, but I had a hard time using the world builder in Civ 4, other than to help me host, you know, falling behind a little bit.
Yeah.
Mars be able to create their own map scripts as easily as they could in, like, in Civ 4?
Definitely. I mean, we've already got some from the fan community in our Frankenstein test group already working on that stuff, creating map scripts, doing that kind of thing. And the repository that we're going to have online for downloading everything in the game, we hope is even going to encourage more people to learn this, more people to create map scripts and mods and scenarios or anything else that they want to upload.